I started to examine the rising tide of student activism because I knew things were changing. Already in the 2.5 years preceding that, 8,000 students had been arrested on campuses protesting apartheid in South Africa. You have to know that that happened because the media isn't going to tell you. Shantytowns have been constructed on over 100 universities, and 165 have pulled out $6 billion joining the divestment movement. So I said, I'll bet these activist students, a minority to be sure, are going to get involved in Central America, but there's no draft. So how are they going to do it? They're going to do it when the CIA comes on campus to recruit, because that is the war of Central America in the flesh. And now they're marching, 750 students at Louisiana State University. Did you believe it? Blocking the CIA, 100 in Bowdoin College. University of Mass using necessity defense, going on trial. The anti-apartheid movement's still there. University of Texas, 16 students, didn't do so good last week. Necessity defense, got 3 to 6 months in prison. They call for advice. Dear Abby, what should we do? And I give them. Proud to be called. I mean, there weren't many people that we could use in the 60s. We couldn't go to, you know, the witch hunts of the 50s, World War II, we would have had to go back to the trade union movement in the 30s. It was lost to us. We had the feeling that it was all new. And though you get the names mixed up, and you think it was all sex, drugs, and rock and roll, you know that something political happened back then. There is the legacy that you can go out and fight City Hall, and you can win. There's about 3,000 students out there right now in America that see themselves as organizers first and students second. They see that is their education. That is part of what they want to do in life. They want to stop apartheid in South Africa. They want to stop the war in Central America. They want to make this country so that it's a country that attends to the problems of the least fortunate, not the most fortunate in the country. And I look at my kid, 16 years old. At 13, he brought down a curfew ban, Seattle. Got rock and roll into the park at 14. Now, he works on draft resistance. Came, chained himself to a fence, just like Papa. When I die, he'll inherit the business. I said to him, why are you doing all this? He says, I don't know. We ain't gonna win. Polar ice cap's going to melt, the tropical forest is going to go away, take away our oxygen, AIDS is going to take out half the population, nuclear bombs are going to go off within 7.5 years, I can prove it to you on my computer. I said, wow, where'd you learn how to talk like that? He says, that's just the way it is, that's reality, you're quaint, Daddy, you're a romantic dreamer, something from the past. But he is expressing a certain kind of nihilism that American youth reflect in their music, in their language, the way they dress, in their thoughts, and in their nightmares, certainly. Unattached to the planet, unattached to the past, the present, and especially the future. That's why I say there's a possibility, if you don't go out and make the social changes that were begun in the 60s and weren't finished in the 60s, your nightmares might come true and you will be the last generation that you see in your dreams at night. Change doesn't come about through conformists. People take risks like those four students in 1970 that lost their lives right here on this campus. Because they didn't believe that the National Guard had a right to come on and shoot its students. They didn't believe that the U.S. government had a right to lie to its people and to send young people 10,000 miles off to battles. Nothing's changed. Same decisions are there. I urge you to think about this. We need young people in the front because young people have creativity, personal computers, energy. They understand MTV. You take somebody my age. I'm 50. I'll be 51 next year. I mean, God, is he old? Older than my father, I heard people say. They tell you you get wise when you get old. You know what you get? You get hemorrhoids. You don't get these ideas and thoughts when you're middle-aged. It's when you're young that you get your ideas, that you can change things. You're plugged into the cultural communications. You have that one ingredient that is necessary for social change that you can't have at middle age or older. Young people are impatient. They want it now. You need that certain element. So I urge you to think about this. We didn't invent the cry of peace and freedom back then. We didn't write its final chapter. Seize this moment. Go out and make tomorrow better than today. I urge you to just say no. Just say no to dorks like Bork who want to bring us back to the 19th century. Just say no to student apathy. Just say no to apartheid in South Africa. Just say no to war in Central America. Say no to contra-aid. Just say no. Just say no to lying presidents like Ronald Reagan. All right. Just say no when they ask you to piss in the vial. Don't drop your zipper for the gipper. Right on. Test the government, not the people. That's what democracy is about.